Good evening, and welcome to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, your host, filling in tonight for Royce White, coming to you from the studios of Free People Radio, the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. That is the epicenter of so much of the challenge we face here in the great republic of the United States of America. I'm so glad to be with you this evening. Free People Radio, freepeopleradio.com. We are the center of a movement. Royce White is running for Senate up here in Minnesota. These people run for office. It's all about winning and losing for these people. What we're doing is building a movement, one citizen at a time, one meeting at a time. And we're trying to educate as we go on down the field here in a connected effort to save my freedom. I'm doing it. Hey, let me tell you why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because they're coming for my freedom. And I hope you're doing it to save your freedom. And when we have an aligned interest, well, hey, you know, we have to really get down to what is really the issue. That's what's so great about being with the InfoWars audience. This audience knows the score. You know what's going on. And you know the evil we're facing. And boy, what a blessing it's been to have Alex Jones breaking so much of the news for so many decades. And all of a sudden, voila, we're here. It's real time. We're sitting here on the precipice of a return to violence in the Middle East. It was a period of rearmament. When a ceasefire doesn't lead to peace, it's a period of rearmament. And the news is popping while I'm coming on tonight. Popping. The Iranians, they said they're not showing up to negotiate tomorrow. President Trump announced on Truth Social that they have interdicted an Iranian-flagged vessel. And when it didn't stop, they drilled it. President Trump said right in the engine room, stopped it dead in its tracks. Well, that's been enough to send the stock market down almost a point and oil up about $6 a barrel. Just to start the week, just to get us all in the mood, you know, the people that trade commodities, they're making money as long as the price is going up and down. And baby, it is a roller coaster. There's some money getting made. And it's a very serious thing, of course, because you might have family over there in those deployments. So there is a very theatrical element to this, from my perspective. And there's a real element that is life and death. And those two things are going together, kind of a contradiction. And there are so many contradictions. So many contradictions in this war. Why it's being fought. Who's fighting it. Who's on whose side. Who started it. When did it start? We have to go back and look at these things. Because what we want, or let me just say, what I want, if I'm going to be in a war, I want it to be a righteous endeavor. There are times when you have to fight. I am okay with the fight if it's a righteous endeavor. Are we standing on the word? Is the war truly worth the lives of my fellow citizens? That's the question I want to talk to you about tonight. I've been thinking about it because, you know, there's a lot of cover stories. I was at a, you know, I'm a political, one of the candidates said, don't call yourself an activist, call yourself an educator. So I'm educating every chance I get. I was at a congressional district convention this Saturday. And, you know, I was there and Royce is running for Senate and he was a star of that show. And I got a real look at what's going on in the Republican Party. I'm really trying to understand it, particularly in the metro areas. We have challenges, but what we're looking for is aligned interests. What we don't want is to give the baton back to the communists. We're going to have to think this through very carefully, talk it through, come up with a political strategy, and stand on the firm ground of righteousness. Telling the truth is its own reward. This is David Penn, and I'll be right back with you after this commercial break. Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, guest hosting for Royce White. So glad to be with you. I'm going to tell you, up here in Free People Radio, up here in the belly of the beast, we're all about getting the job done. We're all about being in the streets. We're all about real action. And I'm going to tell you all right now, just to take a minute and start out with the opening bid. You know, the future is not determined. It's almost unpredictable. I can see so many different possible outcomes from where we're at. And the people that want to predict the future, the fortune tellers, that's not my thing. What I'm doing is trying to get organized. And here's my thing. I plan for the worst case scenario. I'm always thinking, hey, how can this go wrong? That's because I've owned a business for most of my adult life. And when you're in the business world, you got to be thinking, how can this thing go off the rails? What's going to go wrong? Who's going to hurt me? Who's going to cause trouble? And when I look at this situation, I think, what is the best strategy, political strategy, for my freedom, which is what I really care about? I really love this country. I love the documents in the country. I mean, if you haven't read them, and of course in this audience, probably you have, but if you haven't really extensively read the documents and the writings of the people, listen to this one. Here's Thomas Jefferson. I thought about this in terms of politics. Listen to this. It's so cool. He wrote a letter to a nephew on August 19th, 1785. This is the Thomas Jefferson now. Quote, "It is of great importance to set a resolution not to be shaken, never to tell an untruth. There is no vice so mean, so pitiful, so contemptible, and he who permits himself to tell a lie once finds it much easier to do it a second and a third time, till at length it becomes habitual. He tells lies without attending to it, and truths without the world's believing him. The falsehood of the tongue leads to that of the heart, and in time depraves all its good dispositions." How beautiful. Man, eloquent. But the part that really hits home for our politicians, particularly of the rhino variety, the kind that can't pass the SAVE Act, but they were able to be bipartisan and pass the Genius Act to set up the digital currency. No problem on the money, but when it comes to the voting, can't get the job done. They just can't get it done. And when these people lie, and when they maneuver, and they're not straight with me, and I see it, and I know why they're doing it, not only are they manipulating the process, but the great truths, the great eloquence that this country rests on is discredited by these people. It's not just the lies they tell, it's the truths nobody will ever believe again. So I'm going to tell you, as a political educator, I will not accept lies in politics. Now, there's a mistake. Okay, people make mistakes. That's cool. But lying, going out of your way to lie like we're stupid, that's just not going to work anymore. We're going to call it out. We're going to call it out at more and more profound of a level, because the depth to which we're being lied to is supernatural. But once you see it, when I see it for myself, when I get it, okay, I'm a little bit depressed. I feel a lot alone. But you know what? If it's not me going to do it, who's going to do it? And if it's not now, when are we going to do it? And I'm saying that for all of us. That's an I statement. If I'm not going to do it, who's going to do it? And that means really getting out there and self-governing. There's an infinite number of things that you can do, okay? It's infinite. Like, for example, what's Royce doing right now? He's coaching young teenagers. They're still young. Young men. He's coaching them and using the discipline of basketball to turn teenagers into men that know the most important things about what it is to live. Awareness, anticipation, respect, centering, timing. You know, the things that really matter, the things that make for a good life, for an interesting life. He's teaching that. He's imparting that to young people. That's self-governance. He is passing on skills to the next generation. That counts. That counts. What are we doing politically? Are we involved in the Republican Party? Because I'll tell you what, I know you don't want to be. I understand why you don't want to be. I get it. But if you go in there and you tell the truth, that's one last jerk I got to deal with. So please, if you're in Minnesota, for example, there's delegates. I went to this CD4 thing, and you know what I noticed? I noticed a kind of ideology that all I can say is this about it. When President Trump said he's going to make America great again, I didn't ask him what he meant by that. I just thought, it's on me. I assumed that we agreed. Now, why am I saying this? We got a lot of people in the party that have a vision about what makes America great again that has a lot of the rest of us sitting there going, what happened? You know, for example, the Mark Levin crew, the Ben Shapiro crew, and I want to give you a sidebar on this. And those that know, you know I have a unique history, so I can comment on this. And I can comment on Christ, too, something Mr. Shapiro and Mr. Levin would be loath to do, because they're not believers. But I want to remind, and I'm not talking to them personally, because it's all the American Jews that might listen to me right now, because it's time to get down to it so we can get through it. There's three kinds of Jewish people in Eastern Europe back in the day. Are you ready? I'm going to give you the three kinds. You ready? There's the kind that went to Israel. That was the Marxist kind. They went to Israel. Like in any family, like a couple of the brothers went. A couple of the brothers, they didn't want to leave home. And a couple of brothers, let's say there were six brothers. Two of them decided they're getting out of Dodge. Maybe they didn't quite make it to America. Maybe they got stuck in Canada or England, whatever. They got as far as they tried to get to America, but they didn't necessarily. But they got out. And the two that stayed behind, they didn't make it. And that's just the way it went down. So I want to remind everybody, somebody's grandfather's here on purpose. Now, it was legal immigration. The rules were not broken. In fact, the rules were followed. And they struggled to get in here. And when they came here, those old timers, come on now, you got it, some grandfather, first language in that home was Yiddish. The second language in that home was probably, let me guess, probably Russian, maybe Polish. The third language was Hebrew, and then they got around to the English. You got somebody in your background like that, American Jews. They didn't come here by accident, and they didn't come here Zionists. They came here because they didn't want to go to Israel. You were not told that by your parents. They didn't tell you all the story. You know what I'm saying? Because, see, they made such an effort, your parents, and you too, to be Americans. You know, you kind of forgot about Bobby and Zadie. They weren't here to be Zionists. They were here to be Americans. Do you understand what I'm telling you? You kind of forgot that part of it when you said, okay, I got a tribal consciousness, yes. I haven't been in synagogue but once a year. You know, I'm a lawyer or a doctor or I own a business. I'm not praying three times a day. like my father did or my grandfather did. In fact, life is good in America. Maybe I didn't even marry a Jewish girl. You know what I'm saying? Remember, maybe she converted. I don't know what the story is, but I know someplace along the way, people stopped believing in God. That I know for a fact. And then everybody was a Zionist suddenly, and I want to just say to you, this is a little strange, because, you know, when you grow up in it, you think it's forever. It's not forever. It's a brand new idea. It's such a new idea, in fact, it's easy to forget if we think through what it's done. This is an idea. It wasn't even a Jewish idea. Hey, I'm going to tell you, if you're not Jewish, you're going to like this. You probably know the InfoWars audience. It's a Christian idea. Zionism, yeah, it comes right out of England, right out of colonial Great Britain. It has a long history, but it really got kind of codified in the 1840s, 1850s. Darby and the boys came up with this idea. Well, they had a great idea. They thought, because, you know, they were reading things very literally, and as far as what they thought their interpretation was, that they could bring back the Messiah on their timetable if they got the Jews in, gathered back into Israel, fulfilled a prophecy. That's what they thought. And you know, not that long thereafter, the Jews, from a completely different street corner, the Marxist street corner, thought, hey, we're going to go over to Israel, Palestine at the time, of course. We're going to go make a nation because it's not so safe for us here in Eastern Europe. So we had first Christian Zionism, then Jewish Zionism. We went from 5%, the Jewish people had 5% of the population of that country in about 1900. By 1950, they had like 6,000, 7,000 people there. How'd that happen? Quite organized, okay? Very organized. And I'm not here to do anything but ask questions and point out contradictions. Because, you know, we're caught up here in a very religious kind of a frame. A very religious kind of a frame about a very political kind of deal where Great Britain and the Balfour Declaration, a country, in fact, a colonial empire, put some people in the Middle East, financed by the bank, which was owned by the Rothschilds. They financed a lot of this. So we got the British colonial empire plus the Rothschilds, a mass migration, and it's holy. Okay, sounds good, but it's kind of a contradiction. At least two things are coexisting together in a very kind of, for me, a very uncomfortable way. It's very uncomfortable. And let me tell you how uncomfortable it is for me and the kind of people I came from. See, because this is unusual. Because, you know, right now, and if there's anybody that is very critical of the Jews out there listening, you know, I want you to hear something. Up until this about 1850 period, you know, like after what I like to call the Dark Ages, but the professors call the Renaissance, I like to call it the Dark Ages, flip it around. Like they flip so many of our words around, like equity used to mean money. Now it means we all got the same thing. Well, I'm going to call the Renaissance the Dark Ages. Because faith kind of went downhill, got replaced by science, the scientific method. And people had the ability to manipulate the world in a way unprecedented. Unprecedented, man. People had it going on for the first time. People weren't living at subsistence level. There weren't just kings and serfs. There was a middle class, a bourgeoisie. People got a chance to self-determine, think things through for themselves, go to university, move to the city. And this movement of Zionism that came up at this time, both in the Christian community and in the Jewish community, is so influenced by this God helps those that helps themselves kind of idea that's associated with the instrumentality of ego. the belief that, you know, you can make things happen for yourself. And that's a recent idea. And there were Jews that rejected it. And you know where they ended up? They ended up in America. Now, I'm not going to speak for downstream, okay? But I'm talking about the original gangsters that came over here. They were here with purpose, with intent, to be Americans, to have religious freedom and economic self-determination. And let me tell you something, and you need to know the frame and why they came here. Because for about 1,850 years, before this Zionist thing popped up out of the Dark Ages, yeah, it was an invention of the Dark Ages, kind of like, you know, Zionism, Marxism, Scientism, Nazism, the isms, you know, like the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, the isms. When it popped up, the people from the old ways, the old school ones, they rejected it. I remember them in my family. It wasn't religious, and that was because the old timers, they believed that they were thrown out of their Israel back in the day, you know, a couple thousand years ago, because they deserved it, because they were sexually immoral and they worshiped other gods, broke the covenant with the Lord, committed murder. Hey, God punished the Jewish people. And the Jewish people said, okay, I accept the punishment, I lost it. What do I got to do to get back? How do I earn back in? And God had a very simple prescription: prayer, study, and charity. You're not going back to Israel, take an oath. And it was one of the three oaths of the diaspora, was that the Jews would never return to the Holy Land in mass as a wall, organized. No organization until the Messiah was there. In other words, the Jews were going to stay in a spiritual frame, seeking repentance and redemption. Not the least of which, they kind of missed a big event back there 2,000 years ago, because there was a Messiah, I almost said Moshiach. There was a Moshiach, a Messiah, that came forth from within the Jews, and that community said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas, they said. And, you know, we know that most Jews to this day don't know Christ, reject him. And then there's this group, and I think it's so, you know, it's just interesting that there's this group, these, you know, evangelical Christians in America, and they do so much good. You know, people, they really believe. And I spent a lot of time, you know, in the evangelical church. I know that'll sound strange to you, but for those of you that go back to the way back, I was really moved by a pastor named Kenneth Hagin. He's got a son. He was the dad. And the dad preached faith and healing was just a way to get your faith. And I never heard him one time mention Israel the whole time. This is in the 80s. And somehow other ideas came in. I don't know where they came from. Kind of like at the universities in the 60s, all the academics were after the crown for reparations for the terrible sin of slavery and colonialization that the British and the other colonial powers had put on the world. And all these academics were moving inland, reparations, reparations. We want you monarchs to pay up. Empty those safes. Come on, what you got? What you got? And you know, a few endowed professorships downstream from that, and white people were the problem. How did they do that? It's, you know, it's the same but a little different. What I'm trying to get to here in this is a new idea. Both Christian Zionism and all these evangelicals that do so much good, spread so much faith, stand in the word, take drug addicts, turn them into believers. Sinners got a place to go, find redemption. It's fantastic. I just don't know where the Zionism part got in there. I just have a problem with it because Israel is a British colonial operation. The entire Middle East was a British colonial operation. The French were in there too, Sykes-Picot and all, but it was really the British that put the lipstick on the whole pig over there. They got the Suez Canal. They needed cover for that because they were looking to cut return times with the ill-gotten gains from the Orient. And then they got all the petroleum. And man, you know, they had to have some kind of strategic claim to this area. So I have a problem with, all of a sudden, the Crown has an interest in Palestine, and the Rothschilds are involved in bankrolling the deal, and suddenly it's holy. It just seems a little unholy, and I'm just going to share with you why. Because, you know, there's been fighting there and dying and people with blood on their hands since the first settlers started going over there and the locals started to figure out that, well, somebody had opened their borders. And they said, hey, borders matter. So who are these invaders? And then you get into the whole, I'm just talking about it from the Arab street corner. I'm not looking to piss anybody off. I'm just saying that is their street corner. So we've got this very holy cover on something that's very political. And now look what it's doing right now. Right now, tonight, our country, again, in the Middle East. And I have to keep my mind open because I'm an American citizen and my country's at war. I got to keep my mind open. Talk about it after the break. There's so much to go through, so many ideas that need to get out on the table. They need to be contemplated. Maybe I've been lied to. Maybe I've had the wool pulled over my eyes. Maybe I'm ready to start to see. Because if I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? If not, right now. Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, guest hosting this evening for Royce White. I'm so glad to be with you. I'm trying to get into some difficult subjects this evening. I was talking about the evangelicals. Did so much for me being in the evangelical church. It's really where I learned the word. And as I was saying, when I learned it back in the 80s, I really don't remember Kenneth Hagin talking about Israel. I remember him talking about faith and walk by faith and not by sight. And teaching people how they could find redemption and salvation through the word. You know, it's wonderful. It was a wonderful experience for me. And here we are, it's 2026, and guess what's happening this next week? It's something called America Reads the Bible. And this is a program that's getting put together by a reformed political activist, a woman named Bunny Pounds. Bunny Pounds, I think she lives down in Texas. And she's got an organization down there. And that organization is aligned with or part of what was originally called Focus on the Family, Jane Dobson's organization. And it turns out all these organizations are interlocking, many of them, and they're very pro-Israel. That's not the only thing that they do. It's one piece of what they're doing. They're doing a lot. They're doing a lot. But she put together this thing. She worked on it for a really long time, and it's called America Reads the Bible. And, well, here it comes. And it's going to be this coming week. Her organization is called Christians Engaged. It's a political organization. And if Royce is listening, when we're up here talking about getting Christians to vote, this woman's all over the top of it. She's got over 1 million Christians in her database. And they're tagline is pray, vote, and engage in civic life. So she's taking Christians who are not engaged in the political process, and she's getting them engaged. And it comes with, many different elements they're working on. Pro-life is very critical to what they're doing. Of course, people are in the Word. Christians engaged. They got a voter mobilization network. They do civic training. They partnership with 150 strategic ministry partners around the country. I mean, this is a very well-developed political program by a woman who was a professional political operative. In fact, she ran and lost down in Texas, tried to get into Congress. But she's very Christian Zionist. And so she's got this forum that they've been working on for this last, a year at least. And listen to the people that are going to participate in this. This is incredible. Because they're going to read the Bible this week from A to Z, the Alpha and the Omega. They're going to do it from stem to stern, from Genesis to Revelation. They're going to read every jot and tittle of this thing around the clock. And listen to some of these people who are going to be participating. Well, let's start with President Donald J. Trump, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, Susie Wiles, Chief of Staff, Dr. Ben Carson, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, Secretary of Transportation Sean Duffy, Secretary of Veterans Affairs Doug Collins, Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Scott Turner, National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett, White House Domestic Policy Council Director Vincent Haley, Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, a bunch of senators, Cruz, Banks, Lankford, Ernst, and Grassley. They got both senators from Iowa, both Senator Joni Ernst and Senator Chuck Grassley. And I'm right up here in Minnesota, so that's no surprise to me. Governors, Governor Greg Abbott. Oh, Governor Ron DeSantis is in on this. Governor Huckabee Sanders, Scott Walker, bunches of them, bunch of House members. Mike Huckabee, our ambassador to Israel, is participating. Man, this is a big deal. All these people are going to read Scripture, and they're doing it in anticipation of the 250th anniversary of our country in an effort and kind of a sense of Ezra reading the Word into the public square, engaging with people to ignite Christianity in the people, to make the people walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, if it was back in the era I was doing this, that's how I'd be thinking. All these people, but it does have a very important part of it, which is this Christian Zionism. And that, to me, is a new idea. Because before the Christian Zionists, you know what the idea was? That Christ was a change, and that the church was the new Jerusalem, and the new Israel was in the United States of America. I don't know. New ideas. No, I don't know. I don't know where they come from. I wasn't there. I'm not saying anything that other than the fact that the Middle East has been ruled at war since this period of time almost constantly. A lot of oil there. Lots of resources. Hey, I get it. We got colonial powers. They have interests, economic interests. Bankers got to get paid interest. The petrodollar. You know, the way the system works. The way we know in this, I mean, I don't have to tell you in this audience. I'll tell you what audience doesn't know how it works. That'd be the Christian Zionists in the Republican Party. They have no clue how the dollar empire works, or the fact that they're really bringing in communism, or that the original Zionists, the ones that went to that actually went to Israel? Those ones. They went Marxists. And the operation was financed by the Rothschilds, who apparently had no problem financing a Marxist. I was thinking about that. Maybe they were just cheap. Maybe they had all these folks that were coming over there, hundreds of thousands of people, and they just put them up in bunk beds and told them, hey, it's communism. Another cover story for being cheap. Could be. I don't know. Seems like a pretty good way to house people at the lowest possible price. Make them think that we're all in it together. Got to extend the resources, so to speak. But they were Marxists. I mean, the people that were there in those dormitories, they were actually Marxists. I wonder if the Christian Zionists know that the root of Zionism and Marxism, those are two peas from the same pod. Do they know that? Do they know that the Rothschild money, the banking money, funded a Marxist operation over there that was a mass immigration play? Do they think about it that way? It sounds very political. It sounds so much better when it's about bringing the Messiah back. And if you believe that, I don't know the future. I'm just trying to point out there's some contradictions here. Like, here's a contradiction. I was thinking about this today. What war am I willing to die in? Now here, this is why I'm very, very slow to make judgments. Let's say you and me are friends. Good friends, known each other for a long time. We like to drink together. The difference is I catch a buzz and you go home drunk. We've been doing this for years. I'm not judgmental. But we go to the bar and we're drinking and you're sitting to my left and on your left there's a guy. And that guy and you get into it because you're hammered. And next thing I know, you guys are in a fight and his friends are in a fight. What am I going to do? Let you get your ass kicked? No, I'm in the fight too because, hey, we came in together, we're brothers. That's how I feel about being an American right now. But I'm going to tell you, when the fight's over, the first thing I'm going to say to you is, don't you ever do that again. Because if you ever do that again, dude, you are on your own. You caused that fight. What was that about? And when I mean that going back to the way back, to the British colonial empire. Somehow we inherited that. In fact, if you want to find out, go over to the Professor Penn podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. I got 240 episodes about how this happened, going back to the way back. Because it just didn't happen in a vacuum. You know, we sit here and we go, well, there's a deep state. It's making things happen. They got a plan. Well, that plan goes back a long way. You know, we're just living through our chapter. You know, when we get up in the morning and we got to earn our daily bread by the sweat of our brow, let me try it one more time. When I get up in the morning and I have to focus on not starving to death, that I got to earn my daily bread by the sweat of my brow, I don't have time to be planning 400 years in advance. Some of these organizations got so much money, they got a room full of PhDs looking downstream 1,000 years. I'm just trying to get by today. And if I'm in a bar and you do that to me, we're friends, I'm not going to back you up the next time. And that's kind of where Israel's at here now, really. I think the sentiment in the country, particularly around the young people, man, people are not down with this. I think everybody knows it. Let me tell you a contradiction I'm trying to set up here. Saying it, that people that I know are deployed. So, you know, I'm an American citizen. You dragged me into a war. Okay, great. Maybe it was justified. That's what I'm trying to get to. What is a justified war? But I'm in this fight now. After it's over, I don't want to do this again. I just simply do not want to do this again. I don't want to be fighting in the Middle East. I just don't want to. Now look at my age. My generation is all done with this Christian Zionism. This thing, America Reads the Bible, let me give you a maraschino cherry on your Sunday tonight. President Trump is going to read. Tuesday night. Yeah, they've recorded President Trump. He has the high point of the week. He's going to read Chronicles 2, 7, 11 through 22. Let me read it to you. And you're going to see why I'm, you know, a little freaked out by this. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord. And in his own house, he was prosperous. He was prosperously affected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon, if I shut up heaven that there will be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. He's talking about Israel. This is the Lord talking about Israel. This is what President Trump is going to read. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then shall I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, and this is the foretelling of a Messiah, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. And then there's a warning. But if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my covenants, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots and out of my land which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. In other words, Israel will be a global example of failure. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. President Trump is going to read that on Tuesday as part of this really kind of very interesting and great Bible revival associated with the 250th anniversary of our country, of our republic. This is rather complicated, isn't it? A lot going on here to unpack. We got our 250th anniversary. We got the Word. And we got a bunch of Christian Zionists that are in control of the event. They're in control of this. This is their event. This is not the only thing that they're doing. And they're actually getting Christians out to vote and bringing a revival of Christianity. What are we going to be doing tomorrow? Because today, I want my country to come out really good. And I can see a lot of good possibilities that could happen. Or I can see a lot of bad things that can happen. I plan for the worst. But it's too soon to talk about the war. It's bad enough, okay? It's bad. I get it. But there's rumors of war. Right now, we got a rumor of war. It's not really war. It's a rumor of war. I'm going to thank God for today. I'm going to ask myself, is this a righteous war? You know, there's righteous wars. When, for example, when, if you want to get biblical, like you're a Christian Zionist, because I can talk to you. If you're a Christian Zionist, is there a righteous war? You know it in Scripture. You know that when the Israelites came into the promised land, well, you know the story. I mean, Joshua and Caleb spied it out. They came back. All the rest of them were freaked out. Those two, geez, yeah, there's giants. We can take them. Why? Because God told us we could take them. That's called walking by faith and not by sight. See, that's the kind of thing that keeps the communists away. You know what I'm saying? So there's some real good things here. That's the kind, that kind of faith that'll throw a mountain into the ocean. That's how you take a global edifice and break it down so that the day after, it's about the well-being of every American citizen. Yeah, we can get there together if we all get together. And that's what I'm really about now, because I'm a political educator. I'm really into this for the politics. Because what difference does it make to comment on it if nothing good comes out of it? So how are we going to work together? How are we going to see this together? Because you know what? I knew you were in there, but I thought we all kind of agreed. And I found out that once again, me and my compadres are out on the outside looking in, just like we've always been, at a bunch of neocons that are running the same play. But maybe it's not. We're going to know in the next couple of weeks. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I want there to be a good outcome. I could see President Trump at this point. I mean, that's like that guy in the bar, my friend. I mean, my friend. What am I going to do? Of course I got your back. Of course I got your back. But you got to deliver now. Let's not both go home beaten, battered. I don't want to go home all beat up because of you. I want to go home with balanced trade and borders. Balanced trade. How? You buy your oil from us in dollars, and we'll buy the finished goods from you in dollars. Problem solved. Isn't that great? That'd be cool. Back in the oil, back in the dollar business, squared. Genius. Out of the box. The rules-based order is dead. City of London, hey, took a look at this. Your program, we're making a new program. Okay, make it work. What? I have no influence over that. I'm just looking at it like you are. Let it be good. Let it be well with the American people. But I'm not going to forget that people that really worked hard to wake people up, and of course none of us are perfect. Everybody's got feet of clay here. People that really gave, like Alex Jones for one. People that influence millions of people. These are not stupid people. These are very brave people. And there's another level of this thing. I mean, we're talking about one level here with this war. And I can see President Trump's got some great ideas if he pulls it off. You know, he didn't make it happen yet. He is gambling with this, right? But, you know, there's another level of this where this is all kind of a diversion. Yeah, that's what I said, as serious as this is, and I know this audience knows it. Like Executive Order 14179, removing barriers to American leadership in artificial intelligence, signed January 23rd, 2025. Or Executive Order 14277, Advancing Artificial Intelligence Education for American Youth, April 23rd, 2025. Or how about Executive Order 14299, Deploying Advanced Nuclear Reactor Technologies for National Security, May 23rd, 2025. Whoa, that's a good one. Executive Order 14300, ordering the reform of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. Wow! That'll speed things along. That also on May 23rd. Executive Order 14301, reforming nuclear reactor testing at the Department of Energy. Again, let's get going. You know, Donald Trump was able to fix a skating rink in New York City that had been gummed up by bureaucracy for years. Man, he had practice. Look at him tear through these executive orders. 14302, reinvigorating the nuclear industrial base. Fantastic. January passed into the next year, and we come up here, and it's Executive Order 14318, accelerating federal permitting of data centers. Next one, promoting the export of American AI technology stacks. Well, we're going to be an exporter because they're building out $7 to $9 trillion of these data centers around the world right now. You know it in this audience. November 24th, launching the Genesis mission. For those my age that like Star Trek, we took that with a kind of a smile. The Genesis mission creates a national AI platform using government supercomputers in quantum systems to accelerate scientific discovery. And then 14365, ensuring a national policy framework for artificial intelligence, followed up by, winning the 6G race for implantable technologies. You see, it is kind of a 3D chess thing we got going on here. How are we going to make America great? Hey, you know what? It's up to me. It's up to the citizens of this country. This is what you call a jump ball. Jump ball. Let's get involved. Let's take it as serious as it needs to be taken. And let's make a good future for ourselves. We can do it. We're not out of this game. We're a community. Come on over to Free People Radio and let's talk about it. I want to talk about it with you more right after these commercial breaks. This is David Penn. Looking forward to seeing you soon again. In this segment, I just want to talk about a righteous war. What were righteous wars? We never got to finish that. Righteous wars are described like when the Israelites went into the land, they were fighting the people in the land that were given over to great evil. God told them, destroy these people. They worship false gods. They're into every manner of sexual immorality. They steal, they rob. They're no good. These people are no good. You're going to destroy them. A righteous war, because the people were righteous. They'd just gotten out 40 years previous of a 400-year captivity to Pharaoh in Egypt. And you know, the story is, God brought them out by himself. He didn't send any ambassadors. So the people were in a state of great spiritual enlightenment. They were good. That made the war righteous. They could hear what to do and what not to do. They had discernment. They could see when their political leaders were lying to them, because they weren't liars. You see, that's the first step in discernment. See, that's what I want to do. I don't want to call out these liars, because almost all of them are lying. I want to have my political community, the Free People of America community, we're going to have discernment, and the first step is, I don't want to lie. I got to stop lying. You can't call out liars if you're lying. You got to get rid of that contradiction. That's what they're doing. They're hiding behind the lies we tell ourselves. If I'm lying to myself, it's easy to use that against me. And these people do. They're not good people. These people that went into the land, these Israelites, were righteous. They could fight a righteous war. They were in a position to recognize evil and vanquish it. Their house was in order. Their principles were in order. They walked by faith and not by sight. It's been a long time since we've had that kind of clarity. Really a long time. We got much more of a mixed bag. We got an impulse for good mixed with an impulse for slavery and for colonial empire mixed together. We got to get that sorted out. We got to find those contradictions. Here's a funny one. If this war was so righteous in the Middle East that we've been fighting my entire life, because I remember it started in, for me, in 1967. If this war was so righteous, why does AIPAC have to put so much money into getting the votes to have it supported? I mean, if it was such a righteous deal, wouldn't people just do it because it was the right thing to do? Why is there so much money involved in it? You know, I mean, I ask myself that question. If it's so righteous, why is any money involved? Wouldn't it stand on its own recognizance as being we need to do this? We have to, I mean, I ask myself questions like that. And then I look at the AIPAC landing page, and it's a bipartisan smorgasbord. There's Tom Emmer with Hakeem Jeffries, Mike Johnson with, you know, what's her name? Catherine Clark. Man, it's the odd couple. Except when it comes to that issue, everybody's good in the hood. You know, this is another contradiction. I thought these people hated each other. Well, when it comes to the SAVE Act, they can't get that thing across the finish line. But when it comes to the digital currency, hey, they passed it with flying colors. I'm confused. Fact patterns are dangerous, could lead you to a greater awareness of things that you really don't want to be in contact with, particularly if you're in the Republican Party of Minnesota and you're telling yourself lies. Please, let's stop that so we can get over being lied to. Please, let's stop kidding ourselves. Let's take this break to pray and thank the Lord I no longer lie to myself. See you right after these messages. Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. David Penn, your guest host, filling in for Royce White. Trying to cover a lot of ground. Talking about mixed bags where good and evil coexist. Fight for control of the steering wheel. Looking at the contradictions. Asking myself, is this a just war? Is this a just war? Nuclear weapons are not just. Here's a contradiction. We're denying the Iranians nuclear weapons, but we have about 5,000 of them ourselves. How about if we're going to have the right, the righteousness to say you can't have nuclear weapons, wouldn't that apply to us too? It's just a thought. I know a lot of people think we got to have nuclear weapons, but I don't think anything really good has come out of that whole program. That was the flower of science. We can now destroy ourselves. Isn't that great? Great work. And that was just the opening bid with these people. I mean, got all those executive orders there laying out the most fantastic digital future for me and my children that any science fiction film noir could ever come up with. If I want to look at the worst case scenario, you know, I could have a great case scenario. You know what that'd be? That'd be all of us that are listening to this figure out that if it's not me, is who's it going to be? And if it's not now, when are we going to do it? And if it's just as simple as supporting InfoWars the next time you buy some vitamins and getting off the convenience of, you know, point and click, just supporting this patriot economy right here. Just going, taking the time. This kind of pisses me off. Because, you know, we get so much benefit from InfoWars, and then how many people actually take the time? I mean, I know that it's a very small return. And if everybody tonight just went to the website and spent $20 or $50, what an impact it would have on this whole program. And recognize if that's all you can do, and you're not even that doing that, kind of reminds me of Reservoir Dogs. Who didn't throw in? Come on. Everybody's got to throw in because this is the patriot economy. This is how we're going to work our way out of this mess. And it does take money, not to be rich as, you know, Elon Musk, enough to get the political job done. There are people in my political orbit that are listening to me tonight that they're looking for a way to come out on this deal. And I'm going to just say, I don't know where these Christians United for Israel are going to come out on this technocracy. Are these people, do they have any love of liberty? Because I know that the contradiction of how Israel got there as a Marxist state financed by the Rothschilds, the early settlements set up by the British government with the Balfour Declaration, none of that seems to bug them. Maybe they're just trying to put a holy stamp on it. And, you know, I'm sure that these people would agree with Thomas Jefferson. Listen to this one. It's such a cool one. God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are of the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with his wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. I mean, surely these people are going to resonate with that. That's first principles. That means, hey, if you're up here in Minnesota and you're in the Republican Party and you're playing with the pro-choice wing of the Republican Party and you're thinking about supporting a pro-choice Republican Party candidate, I don't think Thomas Jefferson would be down with it. I'm just saying. It's kind of a progressive way of thinking about things. But would that person vote for my digital freedom? I mean, let's get down to what we really got to get down to here now. These executive orders are moving forward, but they're not laws. They're executive orders. That means laws can still be crafted. That makes this technology subordinated to my sovereignty instead of me being ruled by it. And it's just very simple. Are we keeping God at the center of things here, or are we going to replace it with an anti-God? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, who's it up to? It's my free will, after all. I mean, that's what's so cool about this. We get to vote, but they can't pass the SAVE Act. Sorry, in case you wanted to have a fair vote for sure, we're going to deny you that feeling. You can have twist in the wind. Why would you do that to me? I mean, if we wanted to have community and bind up the wounds that divide us, couldn't we all agree? In fact, we do mostly agree. I mean, if you look at the polls such as they are, they pretty much say everybody, not everybody, but a big majority of Americans are okay with something like the SAVE Act. Could we please pass it? There's one. See, I want to work for that. I want people in Minnesota, because that's my line of country, to find me. You can find me on X, at Prof. Penn Podcast. You can find me on YouTube. You can find freepeopleradio.com. And by the way, for everybody out there, if you're enjoying the content, and I know you enjoy Royce because you come back looking for him, Royce and I got a hit. We're on 5 days a week, every morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, on Rumble, find Free People Radio, and we're live streaming, and we're taking call-ins, and we're having a great time doing it. So I really want to promote that and let you know that we're going to be on tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 a.m. Central Time, on Rumble, Free People Radio. We were inviting you to come because that's where we're trying to form a political community. I mean, a real action community. And we know that the InfoWars community is an action community. But we're in Minnesota. That's our line of country. Royce is running for Senate up here. That's U.S. Senate. We got a movement. We got tens of thousands of citizens that the establishment, the handful of delegates that are career insiders, and then the 50% of people that are new, that really don't know what's going on because the party keeps them in the dark and tries to recruit them in. Man, we got a problem with these people. They're organized too. In fact, they're still more organized than we are, but not for long. If you're watching me and you're on an inside track here in the Minnesota Republican Party, you know what? We are Republicans. And as far as our aligned interests are concerned, we can work together. But there's a lot of things we're not going to get along about. So the battle's going to continue in the party. And that's a numbers game. So if you're a patriot and you love this country, and you know that there are people that are selling us out in the parties, because it's very obvious now who these people are. It used to be kind of mysterious. Now everybody gets it. If you really want to make this work, we got to get more people in the party. It's just that simple. We keep fighting. Fight, 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 fight. Okay, can we get some more people in? Could we get some more people in? That's what we got to be working on, getting more people in the game. Politics is a numbers game. So what are you doing? What are you personally doing to get more people in the party? Are you going to events? Are you bringing your friends and family? It's the political season. There's something going on every day, practically. Are you getting off the couch and are you going? And are you bringing your family and your friends? Because if you do that, that's really a big deal. And that is such an important deal. And I'm going to tell you why it's an important deal. We live in a republic. We are Republicans. And I don't mean the party. The party is a club. A club. A secret society when you get to the top level. No, I'm not talking about a club that's a secret society. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the philosophy of republicanism. Why it's so important you go out is, that's the third part of it. The first part is, you know, you live by that philosophy. You're the king or queen of your own life. That's who you are. No monarch rules over you. You're a child of God. And as the king or queen of your own life, you love others as you wish to be loved. Those are the two first off deals of being a Republican, the philosophy thereof. Then the third one, what I said, Republicans are involved in civic life, period. That's almost an infinite deal, right? You can coach. You can be in the party. You can teach. You can find something to do where you're a giver and not a taker. That's what it is to be a Republican. We're givers because we have a connection with natural rights that are granted to us by a creator. A creator, we're made in his image, we're creative, so we can give. We're not takers, we're givers. That's why we're in civic life. We got to do that right now. Now. I'm not that nice about this. If you really want to know how to get involved in the party, you all know Dan Schultz is the precinct strategy. Go to the website. Check it out. Get involved. You don't have to wait. You can do it tomorrow. It's election season. You know what elections are all about? It's about getting out low propensity voters. Like here in Minnesota, the party doesn't have that kind of a capacity. Like almost they don't even want to have one. They don't want to do it. See, that's work. That's making a community like we're trying to do at freepeopleradio.com. We want a community of Minnesotans and American citizens working together to secure certain very specific policy outcomes that we think are very important and can move the needle. And we got a phenomenal leader in Royce White. And what's phenomenal about him? He's searching for truth. And he's very eloquent about it and very creative about it. And people that spend time with him learn from him and are inspired by him. That's why the party says he's a BLM activist. Lest people discover what he could contribute to American society and American life in the years to come. And there's others like him. We got to find them. We got to elevate them. We got to get the unelectables elected right now, today, this cycle. So that's why I'm going to say, yeah, I know. Hey, I get all the judgmental. I do. I feel it. I read those executive orders. I don't have time to be judgmental. I'm actually in the game playing as hard as I can to make an outcome. And I'll tell you what the outcome I want is. I want an outcome where the American citizens run this deal the way it was set up in the beginning, and that we run it for the well-being of every citizen. And when I mean well-being, we extend everybody's longevity, and we compress their morbidity, and we have a commonwealth, and we make every person's life all it can be. We change the education system. We do have AI. It's not going to go away. These robots aren't going away. I want an opt-in, opt-out system. I want a system that preserves and protects my digital rights, my freedom. And I have legislation to do it. And we're going to promote it together at Free People. And this morning show is a great place to do it. Come on into the morning show. Rumble, 7 to 9 a.m., 5 days a week. And Royce will reveal himself to you as an American candidate in a way that has never happened in American political history, to my knowledge. Yes, there's been some great interviews where you've really gotten a look at the humanity of some of the politicians that have dominated our history. But a day in, day out search for truth together as a community led by a political leader, that's because we have this great digital technology. It has benefits, but it has costs. So my job as a political activist, as an educator, is to compress its costs and enhance its benefits, just like longevity and morbidity, because it's the exact same thing. And if you understand what I mean, you're the InfoWars audience, and you get it, because they, on the other side of the football, are not playing around. They have the opposite goal. Compress my longevity and profit from my morbidity. What kind of business model is that? I must want to kill myself for them to get away with that. Oh, yeah, I do. I get it. And that's what how they use me. Instead of uplifting me, encouraging me, helping me put sin underfoot, put me in the Word, they actually legalize my vices to intensify and exacerbate my sin. What kind of people are these? And they, well, it's always been that way. You know what? I don't care. It's not right. And every 100 years or 150 years or so, we got a chance to push this back. If we don't push it back, it's going to walk right over us. And baby, it's right on top of us right now. I go to these political gatherings. A lot of people my age, they are not really searching for contradictions. They're not really interested in it because they're living one themselves. I look at the way there are people in my party that step up on the stage and the first thing they say is, I believe in Jesus Christ, not because it's a profession of faith, but because it's a tribal identification symbol because they want to get elected. That would be a sin. That'd be like breaking one of the top 10. That would be using the Lord's name really in vain. I don't mean like swearing. I mean like swearing by the Lord. Oh, that's a bad one. And it really doesn't matter if you believe in God. That, they say, well, I really believe in God. You're not supposed to say that. Don't you read the Bible? Oh, that would be a contradiction. Because if you read the Bible, because, you stand up there and you go, oh, I'm a Christian, and I believe in the sanctity of life. And I'm talking about a candidate here in Minnesota who's, promoting the SEAL brand. And there's a contradiction, and I'm going, man, Minnesota Republicans, do you have any discernment? Well, of course we don't, because we're lying to ourselves. If I walk up on the stage and my opening bid is, I believe in God and I say it to manipulate you, that is a very intense sin to use God like that. If I say it that I believe in God and I believe in Christ because I'm trying to have community with you. I don't want anything from you. In fact, I want to serve you. I don't need anything from you. I'm not running for office, mind you. I'm here to build a movement of people that believe in God and have policy outcomes so we preserve our digital sovereignty, so we change our educational system so our children are taught to be brilliant and not dumb. Things that we can achieve together if we believe. And you remember this one? Whatsoever you wish for when you pray, believe that you have received it and ye shall have it. Could we start out by believing we're going to receive it? Get out of the unfaith business and get into the stand in faith business and preserve our freedom and have an opt-in, opt-out, you know, kind of a system? We're not stopping this digital thing. It's here, baby. I just want to preserve the option of freedom. And if we get together, we can do it. That's why I'm not so quick to judge. But hey, if I go in that bar with you next time, because, you know, we've been drinking together for a long time. At least, I don't know, we've been drinking together since 2000 and Bush. Remember? Remember when we started going to the bar together? It was 2000 and Bush. And we're sitting there watching 2000 and Bush. And the debt was about $6 trillion. And, you know, you were screaming about the debt before you got so drunk you couldn't stand up. Now the debt's $40 trillion. You're still a drunk. And the next time you go in that bar and I'm sitting with you and you start a war with somebody, an unnecessary war, because you know what? You're not in a situation where you could, when you're drunk like you are, do you really think you're righteous to start a fight? Is that really righteous to act like that? A drunk. Drunk on power. Drunk on a business model that's based on research into, manufacture thereof, and then use the inventory of killing machines. That's what we do best here, you know. That's our strong suit here in the United States of America. And you probably work in the defense industry. That's probably why you're drinking so much. You ever do that again? Start a war? Not righteous? I can't have your back over and over like this. You've been asking me to do this since 2000 and Bush. I'm getting tired of it. I'm getting old. And every time I do this, I get hurt. I get poorer. The debt gets bigger. Legislation gets passed to preserve and protect somebody else's freedom. That means I have to give up mine. You know, like the Patriot Act sounds so good. Oh, please protect me. What's the next act that's going to come? And the next act after that, the next act after that, until one day, it's like James Madison wrote, I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. James Madison, hundreds of years ago, saw it coming. He knew that the silent encroachments by those in power were more apt to take my freedom than a revolution. And all I got to do is get on the field and play and come up with a way to get you to play. And I pray about it every day. And I thank God for giving me the insight and power to move a heart or a mind tonight. Thank you very much. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Sunday Night Live. This is David Penn, your guest host, filling in for Royce White. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're sitting at home at your kitchen table, Sunday night should be relaxed, right? Come on. I mean, we got to go back to work tomorrow. It's kind of a soft time. I want you to go over and get your wallet. Come on back over to the table. I want you to get your credit card out. And I want you to go to the Alex Jones store right now. And I want you to pick out the favorite thing that you like the most and buy it, and then buy one for somebody else. And support Alex Jones and the Alex Jones Store right now, tonight. Don't do it tomorrow. You're going to forget. I personally love the toothpaste. There's charcoal toothpaste. I think it is a very fine product. I buy it over and over again every time I need it. Everybody's got something they like. I buy other things. Why do I do it? Because I learn from the content. That's why. Don't you think you got to pay back? I don't want to be known as a taker. I want to be a giver. I'm a Republican after all. And I don't mean the party. You know, Democrats that are givers, they're Republicans too. We live in a republic. Did you know that your Constitution guarantees every state in these great United States a Republican form of governance? It's in the Constitution. That's why the communists want to change it so much. That's hilarious. You know, Republicanism, it came from somewhere. It's philosophy. It's not the party. Party took the name. You know, and the people who took the name, that'd be Abraham Lincoln, they had a right to it because, you know, they were Republicans. They believed in God. They believed in a creator. I mean, the dude fought a war to free the slaves. It's kind of the ultimate, you know, love your neighbor as you wish to be loved. Kind of a contradiction, right? We're a Christian nation, but we're keeping slaves. That was kind of a strange start to the whole deal, right? Came here to worship as we wanted to worship, but we brought that Darwin thing right with us. Darwinism. And to take property. Human beings are not children of God. And all that racism that went with it came part of the deal, good and bad. Hey, there's nothing to complain about it. That's just the way. I didn't make the program. And I accept it. You know, I accept it because there's parts of the word that I read that I really resonate with. And one of them is, I took that apple. I relate to that. I relate to that. I relate to it. I was born in the 50s, and I lived through the 60s and 70s. So did all the rest of these boomers that are preening around like they never stepped off the path, so quick to pick on other people's problems as if they never had any. Boy, is that a scam. There's a contradiction. I never get that. The gossip. Gossip is forbidden. You realize that? I got to deal with this thing up here in Minnesota. I got this relationship with Royce. I know him really good. I went to this deal on CD4, but the only thing I got out of my holster was, hey, he's not an anti-Semite. I guarantee it. They call him a communist. I'm talking about the rhinos because they fear his message. What is his message? It's still as good today as it was the last cycle, border, debt, and forever wars. These people don't understand that they're Fox News communists. Border and debt and forever wars. Okay, borders. Borders. Where's the border of the United States? Well, right now, it seems to be about 30 miles off of Iran. Does it seem that way to you? Seems to me. It's about 30 miles. And I think it kind of went on down to Venezuela, too. And I'm not saying that the wrecking of the rules-based order is necessarily a bad thing, because I see that, too. I'm saying, what about tomorrow? Because right now, we got no borders. In fact, our ambition is digital. We got a digital ambition that is so great that there's an executive order called the Genesis Project, where 40,000 American scientists are deployed in a Manhattan Project-like effort. You know the Manhattan Project where they came up with Fat Boy, the nuclear bombs, right? A Manhattan Project-level effort to create a U.S. government artificial intelligence based on U.S. government databases. You know, when I talk like this, when I talk to you like this, I just have to say, it's like I'm watching the Terminator. It's Skynet's being built right in front of my face. And these Fox News communists that are in the party, the ones that are, you know, elected, you know, they're endorsing candidates, they don't understand the relationship between borders and debt. They don't get it. And forever wars, they don't see that this is the whole game, and that when President Trump rolled down that elevator, none of these issues were even in the public square. They were all downstream. And he took this idea of the border and he put it right up on top. And the border has two elements, material elements. Immigration and trade. And President Trump has been quite focused on creating a sovereign border for the United States of America, wrecking the globalists, wrecked it. The rules-based order, he wrecked it. It's over. We don't know what's coming next. I'm not prone to prognosticate, fortune tell. I just know it's a jump ball, and we citizens better get in the game. But he wrecked the order because it was based on open borders, which meant immigration and free trade, wrecked, totally wrecked it. But there's a spiritual dimension to borders, and I don't think President Trump talks about it very much. And that spiritual dimension is a limitation on my ego. I have a limitation. You know, just because I'm free doesn't mean I can do it. It's not that I want to do everything. I want to figure out what I ought to do for my well-being. I'm free to discover how to extend my longevity. I'm free to understand my redemption and my salvation. But we got another thing working. Scientific thing, a material thing. It's all material. Materialism all comes out of that European Dark Ages that the PhDs call the Enlightenment. When people stopped having faith in God and started having faith in science. And look what we've created, this incredible moving forward hundreds of years of scientific discovery and advancement, making the people more and more dependent, more and more unable, more and more governable. Governable and wanting to be governed for the benefits of the governance, not looking at the cost. Well, we're looking at the costs. The InfoWars audience sees the cost. That's why we're InfoWarriors. That's why you're going to go to the store and support the movement. Get in there and give Alex some of your love. He needs it. That's the very least you can do, don't you think? No one? How did you find out? Why are you here? You're here because you hear things here you can't hear other places. And why not? Why wouldn't you want to know? Well, I'll tell you why. Because too much work. Got so many citizens don't want to deal with it. We got so many citizens don't want to believe it. We got so many citizens that are aligned with it and they're in on it. But it doesn't matter how many believers there are. It doesn't matter how many people are awake and can see it and are willing to struggle to maintain this republic. It doesn't matter how many of us there are. It doesn't matter when we win or how, you know, what is the mechanism. All we need to do is have the faith of a mustard seed that we can get this done together, that we can form a community, that we can be political, that we can self-govern in our own ways and that it's infinite, and that we don't have to be in fixed strategies. Things can change over time. How we talk about things can change. How we find aligned interests can change. I'm a Republican. I want to love my neighbor as I wish to be loved. It doesn't mean you can lie to me. You liars are going to get called out. But if you don't agree with me, we got a basis for conversation if you're honest about it. We're American citizens, after all. We're not supposed to agree. That'd be kind of boring, wouldn't it? There'd be no free will. That'd be like China, you know, 700 million guys and two haircuts. Not very diverse. See, there's something about diversity. I don't mean necessarily cultural or country diversity. I mean just in our choices. We're all different. What makes me well is different than what makes you well. What vitamins you need to take to be well is different than what I need. We're all snowflakes. We're different. The thrill of life is figuring out what makes me tick. I know how to be well for me. And I know when I'm beating on myself, too. Because I do. It's very stressful to go through this. We're all going through a wormhole of sorts, being perturbated and stimulated and terrified and manipulated. And there's a lot of magic involved in this, which is troubling if you're not paying, you know, it troubles me for the people that can't see it. I mean, if you see it, it's almost a little bit hokey. But if you can't see it, it's going to affect you. And we got to wake up to that for our children and for each other. And then they'll use that too. They're going to say, oh, we got to take control of the internet to protect our children from child sex trafficking. So you got to give up all your freedom on the internet. I mean, these people, this whole thing, it's, well, shall we say it's complicated. That's why we're going to get together. We'll be on air 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. every morning on Rumble, find Free People Radio, Royce and Aron. We're going through all these different issues, cultural issues. We talk about sports. We talk about well-being. We talk about all kinds of political issues from every possible angle. People call in. We try to have some fun. Sometimes it's very serious. Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we get a little bit emotional about it because we're out in the streets and we're fighting. Royce is out actually risking his life seeking to move hearts. Too much focus on winning. Because when you win, somebody's got to lose. And if we're in a win-lose dynamic, how are you going to, you know, how are you going to listen to somebody you're trying to beat and vice versa? No, the politics at its best is about talking to each other. That's why honesty is so important. How can we have a conversation if somebody's lying? So the first step, wherever you are, Texas, Florida, New York, Minnesota, demand that everybody is honest. And first, I demand it of myself. And I know when I lie to myself, then I have to just say, self, get behind me, Satan. Come on. I don't have any time for this tomfoolery anymore. We got important and serious things to do, this community. Because if we don't do it, who's going to get it done? It's up to us. No different. You know, in 1776, it was probably about the same deal. You had a bunch of folks that were aligned with the crown, selling out for the benefits. Getting lands, properties, great wealth in exchange for their loyalty to a perverse system of empire based on slavery and exploitation. And then there was a bunch of American patriots, eloquent, educated, faithful people that talked one to another. They inspired each other. Man, they were writing letters to each other trying to figure out who can be the most eloquent today. I mean, this stuff is just phenomenal. I was thinking about all these military people that are in politics. The strongest lobby, of course, is the military-industrial complex, which President Eisenhower both created and warned us about. Listen to this. It's so eloquent. The continual necessity for the soldier's services enhances the importance of the soldier and proportionably degrades the condition of the citizen. The military state becomes elevated above the civil, and by degrees, the people are brought to consider the soldiery not only as their protectors, but as their superiors. The transition from this disposition to that of considering them masters is neither remote nor difficult. How eloquent Alexander Hamilton, so well, warning against the deployment of retired military into our civilian political life. And while they have every right to do it as citizens, they have every right to do it, but they're not being honest about what they're doing. And when we stop lying to ourselves, it'll be clear to us, not every one of them, okay? Please, let us not have cognitive distortions. It's not all of them. But many of them. Many of them are part of this grift, which is a business model that President Eisenhower warned us about the military-industrial complex and its influence, either sought or unsought. And he said, the only way this deal comes out for American citizens, if we're educated and engaged, otherwise, it's over. Republic's coming to an end. And we're right at its last gap. In fact, it is over because our Republican Senate, which can pass the digital currency legislation, can't get the SAVE Act across the finish line. So Republicans, if you're in the party, let's remember we created this together. Let us look in the mirror and be honest about who we are, what we're doing, because we crave tyranny. Yes, we do. We crave it. I'm talking about it as a party because I'm in a party, right? I personally don't crave it. I'm trying to educate people and get them to understand that when you have no borders and your military is all over the world, the claim to want borders is going to ring hollow because you really aren't keeping it up yourself. You know, it's kind of a contradiction to have a border and not maintain a border for yourself. Is a spiritual contradiction, a grave one, a very grave one. And to use Christ as a cover while the scientists create a technological monstrosity of digital capacity, capability, and surveillance beyond human understanding in complexity and power? It's kind of a contradiction, wouldn't you say? And I got to put up with it. I mean, actually, I have to go to meetings and listen to folks. I think it's kind of dangerous, actually. Because as Thomas Jefferson so eloquently said, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. So what can I do? Well, I know one thing I can do. I can work on being righteous myself and in the contradictions in my own life, loving the fact that I'm an American citizen and putting my service to country first, dropping my bags, being a Republican, being reborn in the fight for freedom, for liberty, for faith, and for family, which I will guarantee to every one of you, if you haven't done it yet, if you are willing to give your life, that you might find it. If you're willing to lose your life in Christ's name, you'll find it. It's one of these things that you have to do it to get the benefit thereof. And of course, people don't want to do it. It just sounds so dangerous. But of course, if it's easy to achieve, what's the point? These are the things that are difficult to achieve, to walk by faith and not by sight, to be willing to lose one's life in Christ's name that I might find life everlasting. Those, that feeling, that benefit, it's no faking that one, okay? You can't fake it. But let me encourage you to try getting there, because we're all troubled by something. Something ails all of us. No, some of us more than others. But in time, in the passage of time, age is a great socializing factor. We all find ourselves with heavy legs and memories that we don't necessarily want to remember. But do you know that the Lord gives strength to the weary? The Lord can do that. The Lord has that power to give strength to this country, even though we are weary and we are at odds with ourselves and each other. And hatred fills the land. And arrogance masquerades as faith. We have no border. Spiritually, I guess you got to start somewhere. At least we got one materially now. To some degree on trade and immigration. But in other respects, materially, we have no borders as a country. These are things I can heal in myself. Why would I expect anybody else to do something that I won't do for myself? And when I commit myself to doing that because I understand that's how I save my country, I will guarantee you that strength will pour into your life no matter what place you're in. That things that have ailed you your entire life, physically or spiritually, will change. It's called a baggage drop. It's a guarantee. But you got to do the work. You have to really get to the place. And you see it. I see it in Alex Jones. I see it in Royce White. These people are willing to give everything for the concept, in our, the concepts in our founding documents that a creator granted our rights, unalienable rights. Just that idea. I'm not going to let that get replaced. Isn't that worth everything? Because, you know, if it gets replaced, my rights are given to me by a machine. And that is something that I will not abide. I just know better. And I'm sorry that some of the people have never known God and never known Christ. And I can only testify that if you want that more than anything else and do what you need to do to get to that place, you'll get there, but you have to want it. It has to be part of you. And that's what this country was, at least in some great percentage, when it was formed by people that believed in republicanism, by people who believed in faith, and people who believed in a creator that granted rights. That's the bedrock of this country. And I've been so honored and privileged to talk with you about it tonight. And I ask you to come join Royce and I, where we talk about these issues every day on Rumble at Free People Radio, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock a.m. to 9 a.m. We want to be working with you politically. We want to be in the streets with you. We want to find a way to maintain our sovereignty, this wonderful country. I want to thank you all. Wish you a great night. Thank you very much.